So while they're going downstairs, let me just share a few quick announcements. I'm not going to even mention electronic devices, turn them off. I won't even mention that today. We give each month to something outside of our church, and we like to kind of partner with other ministries around our community and all, even around the world. We're giving this month towards Samaritan's Purse to help out with, because people have already forgotten a lot about it, but the flood victims in Texas, people tend to forget once it's out, no longer in the news, but we want to help out with them. We've connected with Samaritan's Purse. They are reaching out to them, and so we're giving toward that this month. And if you want to give toward that, designate that in one way or another, and then put it in the offering. Tomorrow, there's Love in the Name of Christ, and I think most of us are familiar with their ministry in our community. They do a lot in terms of connecting people with resources that are out there. They talk with these people, they pray with them. It's just a good ministry, and they do a lot in our community. So if you want to give, the tournament is tomorrow. So we have a foursome that are going out, and we're looking forward to that. I hope we play well, but that doesn't really matter. We're there for fellowship and to help Love in the Name of Christ. And they do have these golf balls you can buy. If you want to buy one, let me or let my wife or myself know. And what they do is they have a big, net. And they put all these golf balls in there, hundreds of them. And they lift it up by helicopter, and then he goes over the hole and he drops the ball, and they'll come flying down out of the sky. And if somebody gets one in the hole, they get some money, or if they get one closest to the hole and that kind of thing. It's just a way to help fund Love in the Name of Christ. It's one of our big fundraisers for the year. And so if you want to be a part of that, let us know. And we're just trusting for a good day tomorrow. Also, another fundraiser is we support CareNet, just over here a couple blocks. They do a great work in our community in terms of helping women that have newborns or they need help with different things. They've also helped to save many lives of babies, of women that had planned to abort and they decided against it. But anyway, next Saturday from 10 until 2 is the CareNet Walk for Life. If you have donations toward that, you can either give toward Beth, my daughter who's downstairs, or Marlene. I don't see Kay, but she's also doing the walk, and so you can contact one of them to support that. And then just a heads up, our annual church picnic is going to be Sunday, September 7th. That's not next Sunday, but I think the following Sunday at Panhandle Lake. And we have a number of people that are planning to be baptized. If you want to be baptized, let me know. And so, and then we'll kind of connect with you and kind of just explain what baptism is all about. But that's an exciting time for us. So we're looking forward to that. And I think those are it as far as the announcements are concerned. I'm going to ask our ushers to come and wait on you right now for your tithes and offerings. And let's pray together. Lord, thank you for a relatively cool sanctuary where we can meet. And we praise you, Lord, for the gift of life, the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul said in one of his writings that this to the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to certain people, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God unto salvation and unto eternal life. Lord, it makes perfect sense to us, and once we have experienced Christ in our lives, it makes such a huge difference. And we just know it in the core of our being that it's real and it's true. You have provided a way for us to be connected to you. And Lord, not to preach a sermon in my prayer, but we just confess to you that all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us. We have some ugly thoughts sometimes that go through our minds. We have ugly fantasies that go on there. Ugly things that we have done that we wish we could erase. And you have provided a way, Lord, for us to be forgiven and to be cleansed through what Jesus did for us on the cross. Thank you for that huge, huge gift. Thank you also, Lord, that you are a provider for us in terms of daily needs. And Lord, I believe, and I would like it to be true that in our practical experience, that you are somebody who is there for us in the everyday kinds of things that we encounter and face. Everyday issues and things that are relevant to the times that we live in. There are so many different ways, Lord, that we can be led astray and go off in different ways and be overwhelmed sometimes by things in life. And thank you, Lord, that you are there, that you provide us practical help to get us through those times, to set us free. I pray today, Lord, for people in our own church family that need a special healing touch. They're struggling with physical issues. Reach into their lives, go right to the very source of those things. And we're asking, Lord, for healings to take place, whether it's through medicine or whether it's just through a supernatural touch, but we're praying for them. Lord, we reach out to them and we speak the power of the name of Jesus into those areas and just pray, God, that you would restore them. We pray for anybody, Lord, that's struggling in their marriage or maybe struggling financially or emotionally, relationally, whatever it might be, Lord, we look to you. We reach out to you and we ask you to intrude into those areas of our lives. We pray, God, for our nation. You've encouraged us to pray for those in authority over us. We pray for our president, President Trump. We pray for his cabinet. We pray for congressmen. Lord, that you would give them the wisdom to realize that the decisions they face on a daily basis, weekly basis, are too big for mere men to make good decisions all the time. And that they would recognize how dependent they are on you to give them direction and guidance to make good decisions. And we ask, Father, that our nation would turn back increasingly toward God and godliness. Lord, I'm encouraged to hear that so many young people are realizing that there is truth in Christ. They're looking for truth. And they're finding it in your word. They're finding it through other believers. And Lord, I pray that that would continue, that it would just spread like wildfire. I know there have been some revivals taking place on college campuses and in various places, baptisms taking place in the ocean down in California. Just lots of good things happening. We pray that that would increase. Bless us, Lord, even if one more time with a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit, revival taking place and restoring our nation spiritually. And we pray for some of the global things that are going on, Lord, without recounting everything that's happening everywhere in the world. We just pray, God, that you would accomplish your prophetic purposes. We trust in your leading. We know that you are bringing us to the ultimate end when Jesus will return and set up a Christ kingdom. And I pray that we would align ourselves with that and really live holy lives before you. And now, Lord, we commit this service to you as Nate comes up to share with us. Let your anointing be on him. Fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that what he shares will not just be thoughts that come out of his head, but your words through him to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, before I get started, I don't know, maybe it was already mentioned last week, but it's worth mentioning again this week. I wanted to say thank you to Alan and his crew for a splendid job on the curb right outside. That was just such a blessing. I said it before, but man, it just keeps getting better. Like, I feel like I could just set up a lawn chair right outside and just stare at the church for a while. Not today or tomorrow, because that's too hot. But I mean, between the paint and the window and the railing now that is, and then the curb, the rocks that Cliff put in a year ago, like, it's just good stuff. And I want to thank you guys for doing that. They do that stuff too without, he just showed up and did it. We didn't even hint at it or ask him, and he just showed up. So thank you so much for that. It looks really, really good. I think things like that are just ways that we express worship even. You know, just in serving God, serving the church, and it's creative and it's different, and I think it is just a way that we can express praise. And so thank you so much for that. It's good stuff. Well, I'd like to get started off with kind of showing a little clip here with a lion versus a grizzly bear. And just kind of want to give us a feel for how fierce these animals can be.
The mighty lion or the massive grizzly bear. On one side, we have the lion, known for its regal presence, razor-sharp claws, and fierce roar. It's the undisputed king of the savannah, feared by all. On the other, the grizzly bear, a walking tank of pure muscle, unbreakable aggression, and crushing brute force. It rules the wilderness with sheer power. So what's the real difference? The lion can stand up to 4 feet tall at the shoulder, incredibly agile, and packs a bite force of 650 pounds per square inch that can rip through flesh. While the grizzly bear can weigh up to 1,500 pounds, that's almost four times the size of a lion, and its swipe can shatter bone. In a face-off, lions rely on their lightning-fast strikes, precision, and relentless pounces, while grizzlies use their immense size, raw power, and an unstoppable charge to overwhelm anything in their path. Who would back down first? Would it be the lion's fearless charge and razor claws, or the grizzly's unbreakable aggression and devastating brute force? And the next time you're out there, ask yourself, who's deadlier, the mighty lion or the massive grizzly bear?
Okay. I don't know about you. Could we get the lights on, please? Thank you, Ron. But I would not want to go head on against a grizzly bear or a lion. Now, David did both as a shepherd. And I want us to keep that in mind this morning. As we read through Psalm 23, that shepherds protect. Shepherds can be fearless. Shepherds can be fierce. Shepherds take care of their sheep, even at the risk of their own lives. At least a good shepherd does. Shepherds are strong. And I want to mind is even some shepherds, or at least in David, as we read in 1 Samuel 17, took on bears and lions, which, as we just saw, would be no small feat. That would be pretty intimidating. But that's what shepherds do. So I want us to keep that in mind as we're going to go through Psalm 23 this morning. It reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I kind of like to look at Psalm 23 this morning and kind of break it down one piece at a time. In the first verse, we read that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. As we mentioned, a shepherd protects. A shepherd defends. A shepherd can be fierce. But it reads, we are not in want. We are full, satisfied, content with our shepherd. Have you ever been when you go to a restaurant, you feel like there's always that one person that never quite is satisfied? You know what I'm talking about. It's the person who can have the whole shebang for their breakfast, right? Pancakes, sausage, orange juice, hash browns, toast, and they have it all, but inevitably, there's something that they want different about their plate. Even if it's just, oh, the bacon's not quite crispy enough. Yeah, you know the people I'm talking about. Or my toast needs to be a little bit less burnt. It's these kinds of things that probably give servers nightmares. Now, everything else on the plate is fantastic, but they're going to find that one thing that just isn't quite right because they want more. And they're not satisfied. I have a friend who told me that he had aspirations to make a lot of money, get a house, a wife, be able to travel, and to do all that good stuff, kind of fitting into what we might identify as the American dream. And you know what? He has all those things now. And he's even all set to retire at age 40. Can you believe it? Like, I'm at age 37, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to retire. But he has everything that he has aspired for, and yet he's still discontent. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is I shall not be in want." I tell my friend, you're missing the key component. See, I don't have really any of those same kinds of things that he does, but because of my shepherd, I am not in want. In Psalm 37, verse 4, it reads, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." So first, I want to consider our Lord as a shepherd who takes such good care of us that we don't need to be in want. Do you feel discontent this morning? Dissatisfied? Do you feel like you're in want? I want to encourage you this morning to go to the Good Shepherd, to delight yourself in the Lord, and your heart can be full. Let's read further. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." I it's no secret to anyone here that my son runs about 100 miles an hour. nonstop. From the time he gets up until he goes to bed, with the exception of maybe a nap, he just runs
everywhere.
I think my dad once said of him, when he's awake, his legs and his mouth are always moving. And really, there's a lot of truth to that. And I, sometimes when 7:30 hits, which is his bedtime, I find a little bit of relief. Just in being able to be still and to be quiet for a little bit. Now, I know that my voice is loud, but I appreciate my peace and quiet. Sometimes, if we're even able to go on an excursion somewhere and get away for a night, and one of our favorite places to go is Port Townsend. One of the things I love about Port Townsend is the water. I love the water. Sometimes I'll just take a ferry ride, not because I want to go to the destination, but just because I want to take the ride there and back and just enjoy, like, the water. There's something just calming about a water. And when I think about how the Lord is our shepherd and he leads us beside quiet waters and lie down in green pastures and restores my soul, I think about some of those times in my own life where I experience relief or quiet or peace just by the still waters, but that I can find that even more so in my shepherd. Does your life constantly throw, do you feel like it throws noise at you nonstop? It might not be like money, politics, various other problems, and you just feel like you're overwhelmed with just the noise of life, and you're striving for peace. I encourage you this morning, go to the Good Shepherd who can restore your soul and lead you by quiet and still waters. Psalm 46, verse 10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God." If we just take a few minutes to push aside everything else, push aside the noise and the distractions of life, and just be still and know that he is God, he can restore our soul. In verse 3, we continue. It says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Just recently, I went on a hiking excursion. And it was a place I'd never gone before, and I was doing some things that I had never done before. We did a little bit of rappelling. We did a little bit of, there were like some of these natural rock slides, which I would not have identified on my own. And, you know, we were guided along the path and how to do it. And I needed that guide. If I didn't have a guide, I would not have known how to tie the ropes to be able to rappel down. I don't know. But he guided me through, and it ended up being a safe excursion. It was fun. We were able to enjoy it because the guide knew what he was doing, and he was able to teach me the ropes. You ever feel like you just don't know what to do? I encourage you, look to God, ask to God, look to the shepherd who guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes sometimes I don't even always know what the right thing to do is. There's sometimes where there's just sticky situations where I don't know. Scripture says he will guide us in what is right. Seek his guidance as a good shepherd who leads. In verse 4, it reads, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I find it encouraging. You know, when we think about the valley of the shadow of death, that can be daunting and overwhelming and intimidating. But I like to think about and consider how Jesus, who identifies himself as the good shepherd, went through his own valley of the shadow of death, and God raised him. Isn't it kind of comforting to know that our good shepherd has experienced it too? In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Sometimes, you know, I should probably be careful what I say, but sometimes, you know, I work in special ed. And sometimes I feel like the administrators maybe make some decisions because they don't always understand what we go through. They haven't walked the same kind of trenches that we have. And, you know, they've never been a paraeducator in a sped classroom when a kid is experiencing a meltdown or when there's an unsafe situation. And sometimes it's hard to connect with them just because they don't have that common ground, if that makes sense. Now, certainly, we respect their position of authority. Certainly, there's things likewise about their position that I cannot identify with. And so I don't have a place to criticize my higher-ups because I don't know what it's like to walk through their shoes. But sometimes there's the other leaders that I've had above me who have been in the special ed classroom. And they know how chaotic it can get or how wild it can get. And there's just some sort of reassurance, at least for me, when I know that, yeah, they know what I'm going through. They can identify with me. And there's kind of a difference there, a different kind of relationship or connection that I'm able to have with those leaders. And I feel the same way with when we think about going through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus has experienced the valley of the shadow of death, hasn't he? He identifies with us and our hardships. And I can appreciate that about my good shepherd. That same verse goes on to say that we will fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff comforts us. In the movie The Lord of the Rings, you can kind of imagine some little hobbits. All right, they've got heart, but you know they're in a situation where there is war, and the war is relentless. It's unforgiving. There's no mercy. And when you're talking about these hobbits that are going up against the nastiest, ugliest, most evil beings that you could picture, the orcs, you don't really feel like the hobbits would stand much of a chance. But there's this figure in the movie, his name is Gandalf, and he carries around a staff. And you feel like, even as you're watching the movie, and he's a good guy. In fact, I think J.R.R. Tolkien intended him to be a Jesus figure, a picture of a Jesus figure in the movie. And when you're watching the movie, you're seeing all of the evil and this army that's ready to attack, and they're going up against like little hobbits. But Gandalf, and when you're watching the movie, you feel a little bit more of a sense of security. He's got his staff, and he's a warrior. He's strong, and he defends well. And ultimately, they do want to triumph over evil, and Gandalf is a big part of that. And when I think about Jesus, I think about how sometimes we are faced against an evil that might feel intimidating or overwhelming. And our enemy, Satan, it says, is like a roaring lion, ready to devour and jump on us without mercy. But when I think of God as our shepherd, and how his rod and his staff, they comfort me. God is a warrior, and he is stronger than the enemy, and he overcomes the enemy. I love that picture. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. A shepherd might use the rod to fight against evil, maybe against the lion or the bear, and so they can be aggressive with that staff. They also use the rod as a way to assist or guide the sheep. I love that picture. His rod and staff, they comfort us. If we will just look to God, our good shepherd. In verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." This is a picture of hospitality. Imagine just being hungry, being weary, being worn from all of your adversaries, and we have this picture of God's hospitality. That God provides a table in the midst of David's enemies. What a picture of God's provision for us. Even in times of adversity, how God can provide a table for us in the midst of all of that and just take care of us. That's a neat picture. Now, when we're talking about oil, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Imagine, you know, that could be a reference to, like, say, dry and irritated skin. And, you know, maybe your skin is cracking. Maybe it's even starting to hurt. You're dry and you're weary. You can imagine that oil that might just feel so soothing and healing. That's one of the things I think of when I think about how God, my cup overflows. And God can give us kind of this healing or soothing kind of an oil in our own lives and in our own hearts that might be dry and weary and desperate. It's refreshing. In verse 3, remember it says, "He restores my soul." And that's one of the pictures that I get out of that when I think about our cup being overflowing with oil. These are things that our good shepherd does. He restores us. He refreshes us. And in verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Spurgeon's commentary, he likes to look at it as goodness and mercy as twin guardian angels. Now, other translations in the Hebrew for goodness and mercy include things like favor, being at ease, being cheerful, loving kindness, things that are pleasant, graciousness, welfare. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you the rest of your days if we live in God's presence. I appreciate some of those synonyms, different ways that we can interpret goodness and mercy. Some translations also say faithfulness. Surely goodness and mercy, or
loving kindness, or favor,
or faithfulness will follow us the rest of our days. I find that to be very encouraging. These are things that our good shepherd follows through on if we fix our eyes on him. And then to be able to dwell in his house forever, both in his temple now or in the church now, and also for all of eternity. What a hope. I don't know what kind of challenges you may be facing today. And maybe it feels overwhelming. Problems just keep on coming. But man, do I find a hope in that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And our various kinds of problems and concerns and things that weigh us down now are only temporary. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 reads, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." What a powerful hope and truth that is. That no matter what we're going on through in this lifetime, it's only temporary in light of eternity. Maybe this morning you need direction, and you're feeling confused, and you just don't know what to do. I want to encourage you to ask of your good shepherd for direction, and it reads that he will guide you. Maybe you're feeling just weary and just beat up by life, and things have just taken its toll on you, and you don't feel like you have that same kind of zest or passion for life. I encourage you, go to your good shepherd who can anoint you with oil, and that your cup can overflow in that soothing touch that God gives us. Maybe you're just whatever the struggle, and you just need comfort. Maybe you're feeling afraid. Maybe you're feeling daunted just about work or finances
or
relationships, and you're feeling afraid, I encourage you this morning, look to your good shepherd whose rod and whose staff can give you comfort. Look to the good shepherd
this morning. Isaac, if
you want to go ahead and just kind of softly play in the background, I want to read Psalm 23 a few more times, and then we'll close. But let's just look to our good shepherd, a few minutes to read
Psalm 23
a few more times. This first time that I read it, I encourage you to just receive it in a way where you're just trying to process it. And just trying to understand it and just simply take it in. Maybe from an academic's perspective, but maybe just in a way where you just process what it says. So let me start by reading. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk
through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before
me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with
oil. My cup overflows. Will follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house
of the Lord forever. Now I want to read it with a lens of prayer. As I read through this chapter, consider this as a prayer. It could be for yourself. Be for someone else. Maybe it's even for somewhere else. But I want us to encourage us to pray through this psalm as I read it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I pray that, God. He makes me lie down in
green pastures and
leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God, I pray these things. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil.
My cup overflows. Surely, God will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now I want to read it through a lens of rest. Can you rest as I read this psalm again? Push aside everything else, a few minutes. Push aside the stress or the things that you have planned this week that you're anxious about.
Just push everything else
aside. And let's
read this passage
with a goal to rest. Let's rest
this passage.
The Lord, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness
for his name's
sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff,
they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely
goodness and love
will follow me all the
days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One more time. This time with a heart of worship. Express your
praise
and your love and your thanksgiving for God as we read through this passage.
One more time.
Let's worship the Lord as we read through this passage. The Lord is my
shepherd. I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk
through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. With oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness
will follow me
all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the
house of the Lord
forever. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. God, we want to just worship you, Lord, and tell you we're grateful. We want to love you, God, for being our good shepherd. We want to look to you, God, our good shepherd, when we need direction, when we're weary. We just want to look to you, our good shepherd. Help us to fix our eyes upon you, God. Thank you, Lord, for being our good shepherd. We love you, God. Help us, God, to just receive. To receive you, our good shepherd. Thank you, God, that you take care of us. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.